General semantics is concerned with the communication process in all of its ramifications, and with the bodily processes which underlie it, which make it possible, and with its effects in all of their social forms and individual forms. Let's have the first slide, John, and I'll see if I can play it right. Can you read that? As a way to get us tuned in, oh, thank you. That's something we're going to have to keep in mind. They can't see the slides there. To get us tuned in, here is a general consideration for you to wonder about, see whether you accept it. Civilization process mediated by the nervous system, the only bodily process you have that is distinctively human, differentiates you from other forms of life, is to the human behavioral sciences. And communication, which the symbolization process makes possible, is to the social sciences what energy matter is to the physical sciences. If you don't accept that, that's an exercise in judgment. If you do accept it, there are some tremendously important implications. One implication would seem to be that the science which deals with the symbolization process and with communication is the science of the future. It will probably be the greatest of all the sciences because it is the one which deals with those things which are most important to human beings. Now, general semantics finds its place within the sciences which deal with these things. Let's have the next slide, John. Well, here. Come down a little. You can probably read that page. Chemical binders, space binders, and time binders. Thank you, Rita. We'll have to play around with that machine in off hours. Get it spaced right. Forms of life can be differentiated into these categories for certain purposes. There are forms of life which bind chemicals into their structure, into their life structure. Plants generally do only this. Those which we call animals can do this and also can bind space. They can move about. And I'm using the word bind here in the sense in which it was originally used by Korzybski in his time binding theory, which he developed in the early 20s, which is presented for the first time in The Manhood of Humanity, a book listed on your list in the outline of the course. The word binding meaning to incorporate, to respond to and with, to interact with, to make use of, to be affected by. And the human being does both of these, but in addition does something which no other form of life does. He binds time in a way they don't do. The human being can react to other times other than his own, to the past. He can even construct the future inside his head. He can react to persons who are no longer living. He can, in his own life, incorporate forms of behavior kinds of experience which were not available to people who lived before he did. In other words, he can begin life, presumably, where his father left off, not where his father began. Every animal starts from scratch. Every puppy starts from scratch. And simply repeats, so far as he is individually able to repeat, the life experience of those who have gone before him. The distinctive thing about the human being is that he is able not to do this. Many people tend to, nevertheless, in this to the degree that they tend to repeat the experience of their parents or their grandparents or forebears. They fail in their distinctive human function. They fail to time bind effectively. To the degree that they repeat the life experience of those who have gone before them, they are animalistic. They are living as though they were not time binders, as though they were space binders and chemical binders only. Now, this is a rather profound observation. As far as I know, originally presented by Alfred Korzybski, as in an organized way. The implications of it will become more obvious as we proceed. The reason for the time binding appears to be, when it was analyzed, that the human beings create and use symbols. And it is the symbolic remains of persons who have lived in the past to which we can react. And animals have no symbolic remains to react to. But the human being reacts to the symbolic remains of his forebears, predecessors. The architectural, the symbolic significance of the Parthenon, or of a dugout on the Nebraska plains. Paintings, published works, printed material, designs, maps, all sorts of remains which are symbolic in form. Can we have the next slide and see if we can see it? There was another slide in there.
That was the time binder one.
No, there was another
one. Prior to this?
No, after the time binder one. And what that slide said was that science, or the general semantics, is the science of time binding, primarily. And this means that it is concerned most distinctively with symbolizing functions. Okay, let it go, Jonah. Unless you can focus it. The symbolizing functions which underlie the evaluative behavior of human beings. Did you find number three? Yeah. Concerned with communication. Doesn't come through very well.
Can you read that at all?
And because it is concerned with symbolizing functions, the communicative functions, the evaluating functions, it is distinctively concerned with cooperative behavior. It is by means of these functions that human beings are able to work together, to live together, to build societies. And so General Samanch is distinctively concerned with the functions and the dysfunctions that can be observed and understood in the study of communication and therefore time binding. And we have one more slide there, John. We might as well look at it. No, wait a minute. I haven't talked about this one, but our time's up. I want just to say a word that we have a growing body of sciences which are, out of which seem to be emerging a science that deals distinctively with communication in all of its various forms, the symbolization function in all of its various forms, reading, writing, acting, gesture language, as well as the speaking and so forth. Persons who work at these problems come from all fields, biological sciences, the social sciences, the physical sciences, as in, for instance, acoustics, the physics of hearing, psychophysics, auditory perception, etc., etc. They come also from the fine arts and the humanities. They all converge around problems having to do with the language functions, symbolization functions, and they tend not to go home again. And they remain here in this sort of a new field, a pasture, where they have all come to fly their kites, and they all stay. And so we are watching the emergence of great science, which deals with the only distinctively human bodily function. I'll have some more say about this money.